Hello, and welcome once again.
Yes, hello.
Well, what we've got today for you is, just again, our thanks for you listening in. We understand that time is tight for a lot of people, and we hope to give you some sort of information that's worthwhile by you spending a little bit of time listening in. And we do really appreciate you taking the time to listen in. So what we've got today is just a, it's quite exciting, I think, the continuing story of transition from to Barefoot Runner by Sonia. Well, so we have, I think it's quite an excitement announcement, isn't it, Sonia?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll keep that cliffhanger.
Yes, we'll keep that one till later on.
We're just going to put in a top tip for beginners segment, and we'll run with that. We'll try and make it useful again for people on the journey of raw foods, understanding their body's nutrition, especially pertaining to an athletic pursuit, and the natural form movement, understanding how that transition can work for you as well, and in hopefully a scientific as well as a realised point of view from two people who are doing it and have been doing it for a while. So to kick off, I raced on last weekend. We're quite a fan of what they call the park runs here in Australia. It is a worldwide event that happens every Saturday, and it's 5K. If you just look up the parkrun.com website, it'll send you to the various links for wherever you're living in the part of the world. It's a really great organization. It's run by fairly much volunteers. There's a set of sponsors that help set it up, but last week Sonia actually did one of her volunteer weekends there. They asked you to do three volunteers a year to help keep the run pretty much going, so that you can just turn up, have a race, meet people and then go home. It's a really good idea. And what happens is that you get your a barcode, you register with them, you just show your registration, which is by form of a barcode. It gets scanned, and within the hour, your result is on the web. It's really quite good. And later on during the week, they will send you a follow-up email. And that, because it's a worldwide event, you will get a aggregate rating, a world aggregate rating of your time over that 5K event. So it's good. It really is good. Sonia was chomping at the bit because watching the running, but
it was so hard just to watch all the runners and not be part of it. But, you've got to give back, and that's important.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's true. I'll take my time a little bit later in the year. And one thing that came out of this was a introduction to a bit of a hero. I mean, he doesn't know he's a hero to me, but a runner that's in this park run that we do at New Farm, Ian Cameron, an amazing runner. He actually won the event outright in 17 minutes and 28 seconds. He's not a barefoot runner, but he has he totally understands the natural form movement. He runs in just flats. The man finishing in 17:28 beat out the second place getter at 17:30 or 17:32. Ian is 59 years old. An amazing guy. Now, I was a little disappointed because I didn't dip under my 21 minutes 30 with a 21:34. But that time just pales into insignificance when you look at someone like Ian at 59 pulling that sort of time. But that in itself is a lesson. You don't compare yourself to other people. I could imagine that Ian could not run for 6 months and still put a 20, 22, 21-minute time on the clock just after having a big meal. So that's part of, you know, just getting to grips with sport as it is sport. And so with that, what we're going to do is just go straight now into Sonia's recollections and journaling of the next stage of her transition.
Yes, well, first of all, I'd like to just say how much I do enjoy doing these podcasts. And I want to thank you to all the listeners out there that are taking the time to hear what we have to say. So thanks a lot for that. So, okay, the yesterday was day 9. So I headed off in the morning and I ended up doing 6.1 kilometres to be precise. So that was quite an achievement. Although we did actually run a further 4Ks that afternoon as well. So,
hey, that's not your German heritage coming out there and being precise, is it?
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Sorry.
But we did actually go for another run in the afternoon, so I did actually do over 10 kilometres yesterday, which was amazing. Anyway, going back to the morning when I headed off, I had a bit of I probably should stretch my feet. I'm not quite sure exactly how to do that because sometimes when I take off, I have this twinge in the instep underneath the foot, and then I quickly adjust how I land and it gets better. But I think maybe that might be something I need to do. I never usually do that in shoes, but barefoot, it seems to maybe I've got to warm the feet up a bit more. I don't know why that is, but what would that be, Russell?
Well, I do try and encourage you to do those little am I right?
Yes, you
yes,
are.
Yes, okay. So there's a series of small exercises to do that will help the feet just warm up, a short series of drills that help. And I do it as well. Just get into that position, let yourself just warm up.
Yeah.
Slightly. It's just like any, well, the theory on that, isn't it, that, you know, too much stretching, et cetera, is not actually good for you. But we're talking about a different form, like, you know, your ligaments and just the structure of your foot, especially if you've just taken shoes off, which is generally a case, you know. So you want to be able to just have everything nice and limber and spread out and just used to doing a little bit of impact work.
I will need to do that. I'm happy with the fact that the soles of my feet are getting quite nice and tough. And I have been rubbing into them a little bit of tea tree oil, just the good oil. And I think tea tree oil is oily, but it also has a bit of a drying effect, which is good because they say you shouldn't be rubbing moisturiser into the soles of your feet because you don't ultimately want them to get too soft. You want to toughen them, but nicely, not too soft. So another thing I did notice was that, again, I was favouring my left-hand side. So I really had to be quite mindful and push the weight, my weight, over on that left-hand side and make my left foot do more work. And I was actually quite amazed at how lazy the whole left-hand side of me is. So it's going to have to do its share of the work. Then I did notice that going the longer distance yesterday morning, there was a couple of areas where the surface was, what, like you say, quite gnarly, but they were not long.
Some road surface, you're
looking. Yes, the road surface was a bit gnarly, and I was able to slow down and do, like you say, it's called a bit of like a monkey walk or monkey kind of run, and just get over those gnarly bits and then onto the smooth bit, and then I was able to keep going.
The monkey run just consists of just having more knee bend and more of a hop motion than a drive motion. It's something that is easy to adapt to, and you find you just do it in a natural sense when you step on something sharp. You know, you just want to get off it quick, so you hop over it. It's not something we invented or anything, but it is a one of those tools that if you do it properly, you can get over most obstacles. It's not pleasant, but I mean the idea is that you just adapt. You know, you just let your just be aware of what you're running over. You know, so with that tool to be able to know, well, hey, you slow down. This is the best way to get over this. Mm. Move through it. And so, again, it comes back to this being mindful of the terrain that you're on. What are you running? How are you running it? It's, for us, it's a total sensation.
So I did take notice of how often I was actually back on my heels. And I think I'm going back on the heels about 50% of the time. And it's going to be quite a habit to break, you know. And I'm thinking now over the next few weeks or so, my target is to maybe land on the heels maybe 20% of the time, trying to keep myself forward 80% of the time. So that's my next goal.
Well, we have said that it's all back to a conditioning. Mm. That just means that your gait, your whole muscular system is not yet adapted to that, holding that form, simple as that. You know, which, and that comes with time. Any good trainer would tell you it's for strengthening. In you just test it out, you just adapt, you heal, and then you adapt, and then you go again. So that's why always that I will never encourage someone to go out and just do a heap of distance when they're trying to learn something. Personally, I'm more of a let's get the form working properly. Sacrifice the kilometers. That's why for adopting to form, a good hill run is a very good way for you to really work out your leg turnover, your cadence, the high heel lift. It's a very good surface to work on, and you don't have to do 10 kilometers. You can get out. Well, we have a particular hill of between a 6% and 4% grade that we just get out there and do hill repeats, and we'll do, I think it's 120 meters, 10 of them. We'll take care of a good session.
Yes, I can tell that, it's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen. But, when I do go forward, then I definitely have more speed. I can see that, in time, when I am able to land more on the forefoot, that's going to be a tremendous advantage for me to pick up speed, which I'm not getting now by coming back on the heels. This old pattern of heel strike is hard to correct, I can tell you. But, I have a long way to go, but I need to obviously strengthen and lengthen my Achilles tendon, and also building up stronger calf muscles. And, I am feeling a lot more pain in the glutes with the barefoot running, so it's obviously working completely different, than the way it does with shoes. So far I'm very happy with my progress of day 9.
So you've been really successful, and I think that's something that people in the transition mode look at it and are not quite sure what to expect. And when, especially if you've been running for some time, and you say to somebody, look, really, you can't look at doing your 50 kilometres a week, and you'll have to reassess your whole training. It becomes everything in a too hard basket. So, I mean, the idea behind a natural form movement is to build up your, you know, the natural form that you have and to strengthen. There's no masochistic desire behind it that you want to run over sharp rocks and be in pain for a journey. The typical race day for me is that I will wear a set of either Huarache sandal or some minimalist sandal. I'm not a minimalist shoe wearer, as in a Vibram or something such like that. I do own a pair of Merrell trail gloves, but they get very little use. That's particularly for certain circumstances that I really believe that it's necessary, but they don't come out very often. So the need for a person on a barefoot transition is again just that, and this, I suppose, this brings us to the top tip for beginners, just in the barefoot running section here, is that to activate your mindfulness. We speak a lot on mindfulness in its context of understanding the thoughts that you have every day, every single second. There's those thoughts that come in, and active mindfulness is just being very conscious of those thoughts and being able to live a life that's not reactionary to them, but to make or to have your actions be dictated by a consciousness of your thoughts rather than just let them run through in a random form and be just dictated to them. And this is in all aspects of your life, whether you're looking at a transition from a mainstream diet to a raw food diet or a better nutritional diet, you'll find there's all these thoughts in there that are telling you that you must eat this certain food, even if it's got maybe a comfort factor attached to it. There's so many thoughts that your brain or your active consciousness, I won't say unconsciousness, but there is a subconscious realm that goes through thoughts that just keep coming at you without you being really aware. Oh, is this true? Does this serve me? And I think, Sonia, you've had some good breakthroughs recently in that active mindfulness through various things you've had in your life and deciding to say, no, is this true? Would you like to share any with that?
Is that to do with the running?
With the running, yeah. Especially the simple one was that you had to do more Ks. You know, I wanted to get out there and do this. I needed to put these. And suddenly you realised, no, I didn't.
No.
I don't want to put my words in your mouth.
Well, I seem to be getting a good workout with less kilometres. Without the shoes on, the whole way that the body is exercising, it's exercising more efficiently.
Mm.
And more effectively,
yeah.
Where with the shoes, you know, like even this morning, you know, I had, you know, pain in my calves and my glutes, and I only did 10 kilometres yesterday, where I'd need to do something like 30 kilometres with my shoes on to get that benefit.
Mm. Mm.
So that's, you know, you don't have to go so far, you know, less is more.
And that enabled to bring... You know,
less is more.
That mindfulness. Well, there's again that minimalist thing again, isn't it? And we'd like to say thanks to Sybil for bringing that point up in a comment that was left, is that they quite really resonate with that idea of simplicity in a lifestyle.
Mm.
And this is what we like to promote here. Is there, I mean, there's the term minimalist that gets banded around, and that whole concept, it's an ability to be able to have, if I say a minimalist thought train as well, that's in an area where, look, we all have thoughts. We need the thoughts. It's us as identity. It's our ego, etc. But when you look at how many thoughts you have a day and how many of them absolute rubbish, how many of them were there from your childhood? Yeah. Can we chuck them out? Of course we can chuck them out. We can chuck them out like the same genes that we've had for 20 years, all that lovely pot that mother gave you. And I'm sorry, Sybil, I'll use you as an example there. I hope you don't mind, but she said, we don't own a gravy boat.
What about these people?
And it was a laugh to us, you know, because, you know, I totally get it. I mean, why do you need a gravy boat?
Well, look, I won't mention any names, but someone said the other day, I've got 56 pairs of shoes. I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
Yeah, well, do you think that man needs to
really
engage in a, why do I have these thoughts that I need?
Unclutter.
You know, so, all right, well, we sort of went a bit long on the top tip for beginners there, but what we'll also, we'll announce now that we are, and this is for our Australian, obviously, residents here, we're running, well, pretty much as our first event in this way, we have an overnight, we're going to call it our Raw Food Barefoot Adventure, and it's in a wonderful southeast Queensland here, and it's going to consist of a raw food presentation on kitchen culinary skills, what makes the, and we've sort of called it the main staple tree of what you need in a raw food. And again, this raw food thing, I do have trouble with that word because we in our lives, we would look at most things that we have as a raw ingredients, raw put together. On occasions, you know, you'll heat something up or warm them or cook them if you like. And then we get into this debate with people on, oh, are you a 100% raw foodist or an 80% raw foodist? And so I'm sort of working on this different descriptor of raw food. I do call it plant fueled. Oh, that's a term I prefer to use. But that's where this whole concept of the REM trilogy comes in, that we speak about the raw food nutrition, the energetic component that goes with it, and the mindfulness that sort of glues it all together. So this will be part of the weekend. It will also mean we are asking people that they can run 5K. They don't have to do it barefoot, but there will be a barefoot or natural form clinic involved with it too. So we will put out some invites a little bit later down the line. But again, if there's anything you'd like to learn in a particular camp or an adventure like that, please always leave a message on the blog or talk to us. Again, we are at the Facebook page of the Raw Food Barefoot Athlete. That's Facebook, Raw Food Barefoot Athlete, or www.therawfoodbarefoot.com. So if you're looking for any information on that or wanting to just to catch up with us, please leave either a message on the Facebook page or, for now, the rawfoodbarefoot.com. All right, well, we've been mucking around with how long we do things and what we put in, and please look, thanks very much for anything. I hope you do take away something from the time you spend listening here. We do wish you all the best. I don't want to be able to speak with you in a position that what we're saying is an absolute truth or it's far from it. It's a journey we've been on. It's a journey that, Sonia's going through. I've been raw, you know, using a plant-based diet and natural form movement for 7-8 years now. So I've been the living laboratory experiment, you know. So and I've seen what works and what doesn't work, and I try to say everything with what I call the I statement. And later on, we will sort of speak to you of, you know, maybe, you know, my transition to when I started and how I got into it.
Mm.
But we really, I do enjoy speaking down in this end of this microphone, and hope we can contribute some value into your life. So with that, we'll say goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye, and I'll talk to you again probably next couple of days or so on day 10.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Remember, take off your shoes. Go for a run. Shoe manufacturers don't own your soul.